we're back, in case you're lost, in case you don't know where you are, in case you've forgotten, because it's been a while. This is the Drift Compatible Podcast. As always, I am your host, Brent Cochran. And as always, this is where I tell you to go get headphones. You're going to need them. Got them? Good. My voice sounds like crap, but her sounds beautiful at all, as always. Alex, the chick, how are you?
I'm fine.
It's been a hot minute.
And nothing's happened. The world is so calm and peaceful.
Right? Like nothing on this planet has happened. So because we didn't really have a whole lot to talk about, we needed somebody else to prod us along. And he's good at prodding things.
Sweet mystery of life, I found you.
Yes, that is the actual dulcet tones of the one and only moron, Doc TMI. Doc, how you doing?
Oh, living the dream. Can't believe we get paid to do this. Oh, wait, we don't. Never mind. Whatever. But all is well.
Yes. So it's been a few weeks. I started not only a brand new job, but a brand new career. I am now in charge of children. Everybody kind of knows it at this point that I am teaching middle school. I have five classes of seventh grade U.S. history and one class of eighth grade civics. It's been a lot. I'm not quite sure how my voice is going to come across. My voice is a little on the wreck side. But it's honestly, I enjoy talking to kids. I enjoy the actual teaching part of it. It's all the other crap that goes around it that's a pain. All the lesson plans and, you got to use these activities. And I'm like, can't I just teach the material?
All our listeners can feel the sympathy and love I have for you just pouring through my dulcet tones.
Yes.
Mocking in any possible way. By the way, how's being in the union going?
Oh, God. So I actually haven't joined yet.
Come on!
I haven't. Technically, I actually just got my employment contract today. I just signed it today. So I'm officially employed, unless I'm fired for cause, until the end of May next year. It doesn't matter if you're a 25-year teacher, they only do one-year contracts.
That's what everybody does. Yeah. You don't have to say, do you guys even have the option of 12-month payments, or do you have to do the 10? I always just find it interesting what people do, what different districts do.
I think it's the other way around. I think you have to take, so what they do is you actually have to get paid on the 12-month schedule, and then they cut you like however many checks you're supposed to get over summer break. They cut you those physical checks all at once, like your last day before summer break.
Okay. I just think it's interesting what different places do, because some of them do 10, some of them do 12, some of you opt. Yeah.
I think previously at one point you could opt, but they just, now it's you do 12 months and then you get paid biweekly. So I want to say the wife got like four checks the last day before everybody left. So something like that. I enjoy the teaching. It's interesting because the entire social science department other than me are women. I am literally the only male social science teacher. We do world history, U.S. history, and civics.
With your testosterone. I mean, it was already ripped, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I like the people I'm working with. They're fine people. They've been as helpful as they can be. They forget. Like, they've been doing this for years, so when they reference, we're going to do this activity in a lesson plan, I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't have that saved on a disk somewhere or on your little USB key. I don't know what you mean by that activity, but it's been fine. I've enjoyed it. Lots of people are like, I think you'll be a great teacher, or I wonder what kind of teacher you'll be. So I have two quick stories before kind of we get into our topics tonight on what kind of teacher Mr. Cochran is. So I will say that, and I put that out there, in civics the other day, we were talking about different types and systems of government. Socialism came up. And of course the book sugarcoats it completely. And that just won't do. So I go off on my mini rant about socialism. Yes, it included the fact, 100 million dead over the last century. Yes, it included socialism's failed every time it's tried, but I get done with my little 45 to 60 second rant. And the kids are just kind of looking at me. This is my eighth grade class. I love them. These kids are so good. I lucked out and got the best eighth grade class ever. And the other teachers are like, how the shit did you get that roster for that class? But they're all kind of looking at me and grinning. And this one girl in the back raises her hand. Mr. Cochran? Yes, sweetie. Can we quote you on that? Quote me on what? She looks down to the sheet of notes she was making while I was ranting and goes, let me see. There it is. Socialism is death. Socialism is death. Can we quote you on that? I said, not only can you, I'd prefer you quote me on that.
We're going to get t-shirts made for you and every other one of my students.
So we were running through
your forehead. Yeah.
We were running through vocab words like the next day, and you know, socialism is a vocab word. And as soon as I said it, the one kid in the class who's a baseball player pops up, goes, is death. Socialism is death, right, Mr. Cochran? I'm like, yes, but that's not going to get you the credit on the test. So let's talk about what the actual definition is. But the big one, I told you.
This is what you must answer.
Yeah. Oh, I've done that too. Like, listen, here's the act. This is what the test is looking for. This is what they want from you. But the big one was, this was last Friday in my fifth period class. All the kids obviously have their laptops. They can access their textbook on the laptop. I also have a set of class books, of textbooks. And I tell the kids, hey, we're going to be here. You know, we're going to be in chapter 2, lesson 1, page 47, if you want to go get a textbook or pull it up on your computer. And I get like 5 or 6 kids that either their laptop's not charged or they left it at home or whatever. So they go get their textbooks. They're used, heavily used textbooks. So, of course, they have all the lovely drawings of the various bits of anatomy in them. And I have 7th graders. They're 12-year-olds. I swear to God, all 5 kids.
It's a penis.
No, I mean, this literally was the soundtrack to my room for a long time. And I'm up front, I'm like, guys, all right, yeah, come on. Let's move on. And they're snickering and they're laughing and they're showing their friends and they're making jokes. I'm like, I get it. It's fine. Can we move on? Page 47. Let's go. Move on. And they're not. And I look at this one kid sitting in the front row and his eyes are just huge. And he's just staring down at his book. And I walk over and it's a pencil drawing of these gigantic fake boobs. And I'm like, I say his name. I'm like, we got to move on from the boobs, buddy. And he looks up at me and he's like, no, I mean, I didn't. And then his eyes are just like drawn right back down to the book. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm trying and I'm trying and they're not responding. Like they just cannot get past this. So finally, I'm like, okay. I walk over to an empty desk. I pick the book that I'm holding the textbook up to about eye height. And I just drop it on the desk and it smacks down. And I look at the kids. I go, boobs, penis, vagina. And I get the auditory gasp and 20 heads snap to me. And I'm like, there, I said it. I said the words. You can see the badly done drawings in your textbook. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to 15. While I'm counting to 15, you're going to get every bit of laughter, every snicker, every joke, every comment to your friend, you're going to get it out. But when I get to 15, you're done, and we're moving on with class. So I count to 15. I'm sitting over at my desk, sipping my handy Diet Mountain Dew. And when I get to 15, they go silent. The class goes dead silent. I say, okay, good, thank you. Let's turn to page 47 now. And they turned to page 47, and we did our lesson, and we moved on, and it was fine. My 6th period is my free period, my planning period, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'll stick with it was the right decision because it worked. It worked perfectly. Was it the best decision? Maybe not. Probably not. I'm like, all it takes is one parent. Because you know these kids are telling everybody.
All it
takes is that one parent that doesn't find the humor in it, that doesn't see whatever. And they're going to call the school or send an email. I'm like, damn it, I got to go talk to my boss. So it turns out that the lady that interviewed me twice, who hired me, is one of the two assistant principals. She also happens to be my mentor. She's a former social science teacher. So I'm like, I see her after kind of like, on, it's Friday afternoon, so there's like a faculty quick gathering thing. And then I see her walking away and I'm like, hey, Doc, flag her down. She's like, yeah. I said, you know how before school started when we were doing all our planning meetings and y'all said, you know, if something happens in the classroom, like a kid misbehaves, there's interaction, whatever, get your story home first, talk to the parent first, make sure you speak to the parent because the parent's going to believe the first story they get. And if the kid comes home and says all this stuff happened and spins it their way and you haven't called, the parent's going to think you're up to something sneaky. So call home, get the story out. And she's like, uh-huh. I said, so that's kind of what I'm doing here with you now. Mr. Cochran, what happened? So I tell her the story. She's like, you can, she's wearing kind of sunglasses because we were outside and it kind of mirrored shades. And I can see the corners of her mouth twitching. She's trying not to laugh at me and smile at me. And she's like, okay, one, I appreciate you letting me know. If we hear anything, if we get any feedback, I'll let you know. Number two, I appreciate the direct approach you took and that it worked. So I'll give you that. My first year of teaching, something similar happened to me. And this is what my superior said and did to me. Mr. Cochran, give me your hand. I hold out my hand. She smacks the top of it with like two fingers and she goes, don't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, now go home and have a good weekend and don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. I find out later, she told me Monday morning what her story was. She had a kid that was just an ass. You know, she said every single time she turned around to write something on the board, he would stomp his feet on the floor. Like every time, every day for weeks on end. And the kid was a known behavior problem. Well, finally one day she snapped and he did it and she whirled around, pack your shit and get out of my room. And she's like, and I'm laughing and she's like, and he did. And they suspended him for 3 days for being a disruption in class because he was a constant disruption. She goes, but not before he told everybody what I said. She goes, so my superior calls me in. You know, did you say this? He's saying you did this. Did you do it? And she's like, I can't deny it. Everybody in the room heard me. I yelled it at him. She's like, yes, I said it. Okay, well, we understand. We all know this young man. We understand. You can't do that, okay? Don't do that again. Gotcha. So if you're wondering what kind of teacher Mr. Cochran is the kind of teacher that yells boobs, penis, vagina at his kids because they won't stop snickering about the drawings in the book. What can I say? I haven't actually told her this yet, but I'm like, look, you said you hired me specifically because you wanted thinking outside of the educational box. Because you said your social science lessons were factually accurate, but dry and boring. My youngest daughter's best friend is in one of my classes. And so my daughter asked her best friend, she's like, so what's it like being in my dad's class? And the response was, well, I don't really like history at all, but his classes are never boring. I'm like, you know what? Fair enough. I will take that 2.5 weeks in. And that's the same kid. I use her as my model that I'm doing a good job because that first couple of days of school, I know her. I would try to call on her to get response from her because you need a response from somebody. And she would just look at me all horrified, like, why the F are you calling on me? And so I said something to her mom and she's like, oh, she's a super quiet student. Like she's not one to speak up or speak out. Well, by now, almost 3 weeks later, she's the first person with her hand up every time I ask a question. I'm like, awesome. You feel comfortable enough in my class. You feel relaxed enough in my class there where you feel you can contribute. So I consider that a success. I don't know what you're like in your other classes, but in my class, I call that a success. So
are you guys there?
I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Everything just flicked on me.
Yeah. I got the same flicker.
I'm fine on this end. So,
okay. All right. There's
a black cat just wandered past.
There you go.
Well, by the way, the quote that needs to be used here is Beavis and Butthead, today we're going to talk about the penis and things like that. Yeah.
Like I said, I will stand by the fact that it worked, that my method worked. I did not actually engage or discuss anything obscene with the children. I used the correct terminology. It's not like I screamed out. It's not like I shouted out, you know, tits, dick, pussy. I used the correct terminology. I needed them to move past it. And the only way to move past their tittering was to, I felt in the moment, go over the top with the shock value. And I did. And it worked. So
isn't so much the words, it's that, oh my God, an adult is talking about sex things.
Correct.
And there is a step above that. You can always go to the animal porn. Just saying.
I'm pretty certain that that is a firing for cause type offense.
Not if you're a fed.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. It's already getting late. I have fortunately completed my schoolwork. I am prepared for tomorrow, but however, I still have to get up early and talk all day long tomorrow. That's a little tough.
No idea what that's like.
Yes. It's like I told my wife, she's like, are you okay? Because I was limping around like after the first day of school.
Oh, God, because you're an idiot. Because you're a fucking idiot.
I wore the nice shoes, not the comfortable shoes.
And that was an error.
I have type 1 diabetes. I'm going to be on my feet for 8 hours a day. I'm an idiot. I have opinions on this.
Alex, you have opinions on everything. But it was like
things about which I do not have opinions.
We've yet to find them in 6 years of podcasting.
But there are.
Okay. Well, I now have a new life's mission. Fuck those kids and learning and teaching them. I have a new life mission right here. But yeah, no, I was limping around the first day and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I spent the last 14 years sitting at a desk. I just spent 8 hours on my feet and I move. Like, I don't stand in front of the class. I'm constantly wandering. Kind of.
Tell them what you're wandering on.
Oh, God, I'm in one of those stupid portables. Like
has the portable been there?
Well, it was manufactured in 2006. The school's not that old. They think it's been there somewhere between 10 and 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the oldest portables on campus. I have a dying AC unit. It's usually about 80 degrees in there by the end of the day. Recently today actually hooked a dehumidifier up in my room because I came in this morning and pretty much everything was wet. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I'll live. But I do have my own bathroom, so that actually does, in fact, count for a lot, that I have my own private toilet.
So you can fumigate it, and whatever you ate the night before doesn't matter.
And I...
Yeah, right.
Honestly, the biggest part about having my own toilet is that if I have to pee between classes, I don't have to, like, sprint down a hallway to find the gang bathroom and then sprint back. I can literally just lock my door for 30 seconds, go in my bathroom, and then unlock the door. But enough about Mr. Cochran, enough about teaching. I am enjoying it. It is fun. Next year will be better because I will have a full year already of lesson plans and all of my slideshows and video clips and all that will be basically set. It'll be a lot more plug and play and just make some tweaks and adjustments. But we do have something to discuss. Something quite large.
Well, look, leave that part of me out of it.
Time.
Okay.
I would just like to point out that I just sat here and let that fastball just hang right over the plate.
Again, leave that part of me out of it.
Folks, teaching seventh graders and running this podcast is remarkably similar.
I was just going to say, I mean, you and I have been friends for a long time now. You should be used to this level of immaturity.
The problem is I have the same level of immaturity, but I can't let it out. I have to pretend to be the adult. There's no more adultier adult in the room other than me.
No, that is one of my favorite memes, you know, that moment when you're looking for an adult, realize you are an adult, so you go looking for an adultier adult. Yeah.
That's me every day. I look around and go, oh, shit, I'm the guy in charge. Okay, here's what we're doing.
Yep.
You are now the HMFIC.
Yes.
Motherfucker in charge.
Word. I got told once at the psychopaths by like somebody, when newer people there, like, you're so calm when there's disasters. I'm like, no, I'm fucking not. At which point,
Did someone call you a duck?
What?
A duck. Oh, right. Calm on the surface, paddling like crazy underneath.
Right. Well, but then one of the head paralegal was like my office best friend. She's like, here's the deal. And this is true. She's like, you are fine and calm while we're fixing it. As soon as it's done, that's when all the profanity and the, you know, and the arm flailing and the stopping and the pen throwing happens. I'm like, fair, you know?
So speaking of arm flailing and pen throwing and freaking out, that's a nice segue to, I mean, that's actually a step up from what's going on with our withdrawal in Afghanistan.
Is there a plan?
There's a pin probably at this point shoved through somebody's hand. Okay. So
I mean, legit, was there a plan?
The plan seems to be we're leaving. I haven't seen any sort of actual plan. You keep hearing from Biden and from his spokespeople, you know, we're evacuating. They're evacuating lots of people. Apparently a small percentage of them are Americans. They keep acting like there's a plan. They keep talking like there's a plan, but I get from a security stamp, from an operational security standpoint, you can't go, here's our plan and just put it out there. But I'm not super pacified. I'm not super feeling good and comfy with Grandpa Joe leading the charge here. I mean, the story is coming out that all of his generals, that all of his advisors went, this isn't the way to do it. Like this isn't going to work. And he overruled everyone, as is his prerogative as president, and said, we're doing it this way at this time period because I want it to coincide with this date.
Here's why I'm not buying that, though.
Okay.
The generals had absolutely no problem overruling Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, when he said he wanted to do something similar, they said, this is a bad idea and we're not doing it. And they went to the media trumpeting it. But now all of a sudden they're going to have an attack of conscience because Biden? I mean, you know, who is am I the only not high person? You know, or am I the only high person, you know, I mean, like in terms of like drug use here?
Yeah.
I mean, I.
Well, as we know, sources say, you know, my position, all sources say stories are lies.
Yes.
In this case, to give people a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of credit for competence, which I shouldn't do.
Concur.
You have to assume. One would hope some of these leaks are intentional psyop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm not going to believe any of these leaks because everyone is in ass covering mode. We told him not to do it, but he did it anyway. What my first thought was, oh, you mean like how Trump said we're going to leave and then they said, no, you couldn't. So Trump deferred. Yeah, and it's like, no. Let's see, we have one hand, the other hand, I think I'm up to a foot now. On the foot, Biden is such an arrogant cocksmoker that I absolutely believe he would say, no, we're doing it, do it anyway.
I believe that Biden's people, whoever's not running to be all, you know, theory about it, conspiracy theory about it, but whoever's...
record on this. The Biden presidency is the final implementation of the goal of Wilsonian progressivism. Ruled by a technocratic collective, which is unknown to the public and utterly unaccountable.
Mm-hmm. I think he personally has people pulling strings. I mean, I think his inner circle is yes, obviously Joe Biden has his own thoughts and can say his own things, but I think he's being fed a lot. So I hate, and Doc, you'll get this too. I hate any sort of medical psychoanalysis, diagnosis type stuff from what you see on TV. I hated the 2020 hindsight on Reagan. I hated the, you know, the Trump is senile. I hate all that. I don't even like the body language people like doing their shtick.
Body language people.
What's that?
I hate the body language like, people.
I hate all that stuff.
For celebrities, I think it's bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I hate the, in general, the idea of, oh, look at Biden. He's clearly senile. He's this, he's that, based on what you see on TV. Because we all know, Doc, you worked in that industry. What you see on TV is not reality.
That's putting it delicately.
It's very much manufactured, good and bad.
Right.
You know, I think we've all probably had that experience of seeing a video recording played back of something we said or did and being like, the hell? Like, what just happened there?
That's my, a species of all sorts of say or lies. If it's a 20-second video clip, fuck you.
Right. You know? But at the same time, you look at Biden and you don't get the impression of a healthy man. I saw somebody the other day that was talking about, oh, look at his bloodshot eyes and look at this. And I watched some of the video and I'm like, you can't see his eyes from this video. I mean, you obviously can see his eyes, but you're not close enough to make out details.
But it's been this podcast position since the campaign in 2000 that what's being done to him is elder abuse.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think he... Again, I hate going there, but I don't think he's mentally fit at this point to hold that position. We talked about this. Alex and I were talking about this way back, Doc, before you started joining us. That
since the Democratic primaries.
Yeah, that he displays behaviors that we've all seen in our elderly family members. Some of his speech patterns very much mimic my grandfather's at the end of his life when he would get stuck and the brain and the mouth wouldn't quite connect. And he'd almost force the words out and spit them out because he's literally spitting them
anger.
Out. The anger and frustration when people ask him something he doesn't know the answer to or doesn't want to talk about or question him.
You can't get the words out.
Yeah. So... I don't want to comment on the man's mental state because I don't know it. I don't know Joe Biden. I don't know his doctors. But when you look at him physically and you look at how he conducts himself, it doesn't lend a whole lot of confidence. And then you look at the results of the things he's put his mark on, and it's not good. I mean, apparently, I don't know if y'all have seen it on Twitter. It came out in the last, really since we started this phone call, that there are multiple credible reports that ISIS is planning multiple terror hits on the airport in what is it? Is in Kabul?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, that they're literally working to create even more chaos amongst what apparently is utter chaos. Someone described it as a death metal concert. There's only one exit and there's a fire is the situation at the airport, which is a pretty interesting and specific description, but a pretty good one, I think.
I mean, if nothing else, you have the people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're literally captive.
Mm-hmm.
You apparently have some folks from our embassy saying they'd rather take a bullet from the Taliban than try and get to the airport again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First of all, why on God's green earth were the embassy personnel like not the first or second people pulled out of there?
Well, the thing about it is that we are giving the folks in charge a lot of credit that so far I don't think they've earned. And it's not, and I don't want to be I'm trying to pull my politics out of it for a second because, you know, obviously there's tremendous political opportunity to be gained from this. But that's not the point.
I would say Trump doing this.
Well, the thing is, if it was Trump doing this, I think you would have had a bipartisan move to impeach. I think they would have thrown his ass out.
Impeach and remove, and I think it would have succeeded.
Yes, thank you for the clarification. That's a very good way of putting it.
And as it should have. Yeah.
Yeah. Concur. Yeah. And that's the thing that's so difficult to reconcile about this. When you look at just how completely off the cuff this appears to be, and when you also consider not only the fact that we've left at least 10,000 people on the ground who are U.S. citizens, plus maybe as many as 300,000 Afghans who sided with us. It's difficult for me to imagine that there was any forethought that went into this other than now's our chance, go, and we'll do it now so that we don't have to, so that we're not left holding the bag when this shit all goes sideways.
I mean, supposedly we literally left bag room in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That appears to be more or less confirmed at this point that we were there when the sun went down and gone when the sun came up.
Yeah.
And apparently there were as many as 4,000 to 5,000 prisoners still there. Yeah. And many of them high level ISIS, Taliban, terrorist leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You couldn't, I mean, not to be all this guy, you couldn't put a bullet in them on the way out the door. I don't understand. I don't understand what we did. We left, what was it? Something like $750 billion worth of equipment there. They have more U.S. armament vehicles, equipment than anyone other than us on the planet now. And I saw someone bring up a good point. Look, they can't service it. They can't maintain it. A lot of it they may not even be able to use, but there's a whole lot of people on this planet, a whole lot of bad actors that very much can figure out how to use it and can figure out how to maintain it. And that's a quick and easy source of income for a terrorist organization, for the Taliban and for ISIS.
And the other thing is the Chinese will cheerfully come in and help them use it, because there were a couple of people who made a couple of very good remarks about this. The big winner in all this is Pakistan. Because we have propped them up financially, and the ISI are the bad guys in this. For the uninitiated, that is the Pakistani intelligence service. But we've given them billions to control the Taliban, which they do, to hide bin Laden. Where was bin Laden hiding? In an ISI compound in Pakistan. And by the way, we left them a stealth Black Hawk. You're welcome, guys. And we had the good forethought to blow that fucker up before we left. Makes you wonder. And the other thing is, for anybody who plays DCS, the Air Combat Simulator, you've gone up against the JF-17. That is a Pakistani and Chinese collaboration on a fighter plane that is essentially the F-20 Tiger Shark. What does that all mean in the end? The other big winner here is the country holding Pakistan's strings. That would be China.
China.
The end result is we've given the Chinese all the intelligence they could ever pray for in terms of knowing how our gear works. And frankly, nobody reverse engineers shit like the Chinese. Just ask the Russians, because the Chinese J-15 series of fighters, all they are Sukhoi flankers with different, less reliable engines.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I mean, go ahead.
Well, I was saying, we have given the Chinese, the Pakistanis and the Chinese and the Iranians, because a lot of our gear went skedaddling west, we have given them a bonanza of armament technology not seen since Bill Clinton allowed Loral to sell their launch software to the Chinese, and now all of a sudden the Chinese have reliable intercontinental ballistic missiles. Thanks a fucking lot, Joey and company.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that it's been known for decades, 20, 30 years, that the Chinese don't really invent much. They cobble together things, like you said, they reverse engineer and cobble together things that they've stolen or that they've managed to purchase or get their hands on, and they make it work for them. And they make it work well enough to cause problems if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, I've been hearing ever since all of this started is All She Wants to Do is Dance by Don Henley.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the government bugged the men's room in the local disco lounge trying to keep the boys from selling all the weapons they can scrounge. But that don't keep the boys from making a buck or two.
Yeah.
I have said this multiple times. I sure hope somebody's getting fucking paid for leaving all this there and we didn't just fucking leave it there. Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm not actually sure which would be worse. The outright fraud / treason of being mm-hmm. paid and accepting money to leave it all there, or just the mind-boggling incompetence. Now, look, I realize that since World War II, we don't bring all our gear home. There's a whole shitload of our gear sitting in the ocean, you know, halfway between Japan and Hawaii. I get that. I understand that. We all understand the logistics and the idea that, you know, it would cost more to ship it back and get it back than it does to replace it. And look, we all get that. But what you don't do, what no one on this planet has ever even conceived of, is that you simply leave it sitting in place fully functional. I mean, did we even fucking take the keys to the Humvees with us when we left? Or did we leave them, you know, on top of the sun visor?
Oh, we probably left them in the fucking ignition.
No, you've seen the pictures. I mean, you've seen the recreation of the Iwo Jima flag, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is...
And that's all American gear. We left everything.
And it is my understanding, however unconfirmed, that the 96th Bomb Squadron out of Barksdale, that's your B-52Hs, mm-hmm. that they sortied to Diego and were ready to go and were called. Now, I have not had that confirmed. But
it's confirmed, but I'm pretty sure there was at least some confirmation by the people who watch all the flight paths. That's a fascinating subset of the world. There are people who watch all the flight paths.
Yeah.
And apparently it is confirmed that they were at either there or on their way to Diego. And since nothing got blown the fuck up, it's pretty safe to assume that they were told not to.
Well, and the other thing about it is the part that I'm willing to buy to a point is, mm-hmm. hey, we need to not hit this stuff for a couple of days because we need to get our people out, because otherwise it's going to be open season on them. And I'm willing to concede that point. But that also, once again, goes back to the lack of competence shown, that nobody thought this through. Or if they did think it through, they thought it through. How can we make this look like such a clusterfuck that nobody will hopefully notice that we completely paid off the Taliban, we rearmed them, and by extension, we paid off Pakistan and China?
Okay. Well, what I wanted to say when we were talking ahead of time, like, I want to point out, you know, take several very, very dark-humored victory laps on I Told You So. Mm-hmm. I said, I think it was, what's today, Wednesday? Sunday or Monday? Like, within a day, the spin is going to be, it's a mega conspiracy that anything went wrong and the evacuation has been a complete success. Guess what's been going around for the last 2 days?
Yes.
I fucking told you so. And people are like, oh, nobody's going to believe it. I'm like, half the country will. Half mm-hmm. the country is happy to believe my team did everything perfect and you hate America for saying anything went wrong. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was today that, you know, Ginger Gables was out there going, this is the greatest thing ever and the biggest airlift and all that bullshit. And why aren't you giving us credit for evacuating 60,000 people and on and on and on? I'm like, I told you so. I fucking told you so. It's not even gaslighting. It's just Baghdad Bob bullshit.
It's absolutely Baghdad Bob. The amazing part is, and I saw this, I can't remember who said it, and I saw it a couple different times, but essentially what the Biden administration is doing is they're like an arsonist who wants credit for putting out the fires and saving the people when they set the fires to begin with.
Which is actually a thing.
Classic. Yeah, it's a classic thing.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what they're doing. They created the problem and then want credit. They're not really solving the problem, but they want credit for what they've done to solve the problem. Like, you caused this. Now, look, like you said, with waiting to blow up and hit the gear we left behind, you got to wait a few days, make sure our people get out. So that works only if there's an even sort of competent plan in place to get our people out. We apparently did none of these things. We abandoned the base. We left all our gear there. And we left all our people in the positions they were in. We didn't even give them a heads up that this was coming. I mean, you've got embassy staff that are... the embassy staff is still there. How are they not the first people on the runway out? These are professional bureaucrats that were representing you and they're on American behalf. Mm-hmm. And you left them there and they can't physically get to the airport. Apparently the airport is just an insane asylum. I mean, there's been multiple stories I've seen of men, women, and children literally trampled to death in this mad...
It is 100% a death zone.
There's now, you know, in the last hour or so, multiple reports of like we said, like I said earlier, of multiple terrorist attacks being planned. It's the first, what was it, the first day, the second day of all of this? I saw the videos, I think both of you did too, of people literally falling from planes. They were trying to board the C-17s that were taking off. And They were trying to hang on to the gear. There was a confirmed report that one of the planes had to divert and take, you know, conduct essentially an emergency landing because they couldn't get their landing gear up. Well, they couldn't get the landing gear up and the doors closed because there were literal body parts blocking the correct function of this equipment. It's horrific.
The picture shows everything from the sternum down on some poor man hanging off the starboard landing gear of the C-17.
Yep.
And the stories were that from the inside of the plane, the inside of what these areas look like, that there were multiple body parts from multiple people.
It was an abattoir.
Yeah. And that shows the desperation that these people were. I mean, this was one of the first days. Imagine what it's like there now, because it's only gotten worse. I don't look. Obviously, I'm to steal a line from one of my longtime political friends who's not in the sphere anymore, Mo Lane. I am a conservative hack. I make no bones about that. But I just can't comprehend this incompetence even from the other side. It's incompetence that beggars the question of whether or not it's actual incompetence or something else happened here. But I, for the life of me, without billion-dollar payoffs, I don't grok the reasoning behind even sort of purposely doing this.
Yeah,
it's the whole thing is stunning. I've spent the last this has been going on essentially a week now, just kind of scrolling and staring in horror.
Slack-jawed horror. When I said, is there even a plan? It comes across as the military saying, fine, you want us out? Fuck it. Here we go. We're gone.
And again, the only thing I have with that there is that some of their people are still stuck there.
Yep.
The whole thing is just a disaster. The fact that we haven't seen reports yet of Americans being killed, or I haven't, they have to be coming.
That's going to be very interesting, because the discussion is supposedly there's an August 31st deadline set by the Taliban to get everybody out. And everyone's like, okay, here's going to come, you know, God, you guys weren't even close to being born then. Here comes the hostage crisis too.
Well, I was around, not totally aware for Tehran 79.
Yeah.
So.
Brent was not.
My parents got married in April of 79. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brent was not. I'm not sure about that. And we'll see, because people are pointing out the Taliban is incredibly media savvy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of discussion that, oh, people will be beheaded after they're raped, just out in the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those.
People will just be disappeared.
It's one of those things. Do my first kind of blush at it is that the Taliban won't take hostages because that's not what they do. You know, they don't take hostages because they don't need them. They're not going to, obviously, every organization wants money, needs money. They were left $750 billion in equipment. They can probably raise plenty of funds with that stuff. The other thing, though, is that if they are savvy enough, which I fear they may be, it becomes, like the Iran hostage crisis, an incredible embarrassment on a worldwide stage that they can parade hundreds, maybe thousands, literally, of Americans out. This is what we did to the great America. They're powerless to even stop us from taking their people. I mean, you could literally just drag some poor person, some poor woman out, beat her to death on camera, and be like, what you gonna do about it? So I don't know whether they'll take the hostages or not. I saw something earlier this afternoon that
they'll take hostages.
Say again, Alex.
They'll take hostages. They will take hostages. It's just a matter of will they make a public spectacle of it.
Yeah.
For example, there was a story today, because once again, everything must be reported on as horribly as possible. The story was 24 students in this school district and 16 parents are trapped in Afghanistan. Now, from that headline, what do you assume happened?
Mm-hmm.
That they were on a school trip, right?
Yeah.
No. When you actually read through the very poorly written LA Times article, this is in a school district that's in the San Diego area. They're all traveling on U.S. special military visas. And when you read closer, they're from 8 different schools. And they were first contact. The first contact was with a group that works with refugees and people who are being relocated from Afghanistan. In other words, these are the family members of probably Afghani translators who got military visas to go over to Afghanistan to visit their family and were idiotic enough to believe that, you know,
they were safe. Wouldn't
do anything like this, and they're trapped. And the reason the school district got involved is because the agency that helps relocate the refugees got in touch with the school district to help provide information to Daniel Issa's office to try to get them the fuck out. I brought this up to the Horde, and because the Horde knows and has done everything, people are like, oh, yeah, that school district is where a shit ton of people in the military bases around San Diego live.
That's what I assumed, is it somehow with stationing and duty stations and things like that, it was military families that were there.
But of course the reporting, because everybody was like, you know, who the fuck would take their kids on a school trip to Afghanistan? I'm like, but it's not. Yeah. But got those clicks, didn't you? Oh, didn't you, LA Times? You got those clicks. But it's like, we're back to H.W. Bush and the betrayal of the Kurds, for which he is now and will continue to be answering to God directly. The betrayal of the people who worked with us in Afghanistan is just evil. There's no other word for it. It is evil.
And not only that, from a purely coldly bloodless practical perspective, why in the actual ever bleeding bloody fuck would anybody anywhere work with Americans?
Yep.
Why? We've proven time and time again, depending on who's in office, we're not, and possibly even just period, we're not going to protect you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So why in the future when we go into some hellhole, when the CIA is infiltrating somewhere, why would anybody on the ground help the U.S.?
Yeah. And that goes all the way back. I can't speak to pre-Korea, but that goes all the way back to the Bay of Pigs.
Yep.
If not before then. I mean, and things, that's just the stuff I know about. Who else have we fucked over in that time?
And look, I think we're all perfectly adult enough to know and speak on and realize that international politics, international diplomacy, international war, all spycraft, all of these things are ugly. And people get hurt. And people die. And people do so in horrible ways every day. But the naked, open, public, Alex had it right, betrayal of people who risked everything to help you is, we keep using the phrase mind-numbing, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that it's mind-numbing, it's that it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's absolutely unacceptable. It is a debt of honor that we owe to people who put their asses on the line for us, and not just their own, but they believed enough in the America that they know, at least through reputation, that they said it is worth it for me to put my life and the lives of my family on the line because these are the good guys. And what did we do? We fucked them, and we fucked them hard. And it's a stain that this is a stain we can't undo. It would take decades to undo this track record. And especially right now, it also encourages aggressors and the big boys too. Russia and China and Iran at this point, because Iran honestly is a player in the Middle East. They're all looking at this going, okay, now's our time. And the other thing is, Israel, there's already headlines out there. Israel is stepping up its plans to attack Iran, and correctly so.
Well, Israel at this point can no longer assume that America is its friend.
Yeah.
No.
Because the Biden administration is filled with open anti-Semites.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the other players. That's an easy sell. You know, Russia walks in and goes, hey, look, you see what the Americans did? They won't protect you. We'll protect you. We'll stick by you. We'll make sure you're okay. Come work for us. Who doesn't make that deal?
Well, right. Yeah, but Russians have already, remember, the Russians lost. Russians have already lost. There's a reason, though.
I don't even really mean Afghanistan, because Afghanistan's Afghanistan. I just mean in general on a worldwide stage. We're going to have a really hard time finding allies, both on an international nation state stage and on a very personal on the ground stage as well. Because and it's not like this is a one time thing. We've talked about it on this podcast. We've talked about it repeatedly here. This is a repeated behavior.
Yes, it is.
That Americans will, when the end date comes, they won't protect those who help them. They won't help those that help them. So why ever would you help us?
The only reason to help is to get your foot in the door so you can fucking sell the military hardware.
Or you get your money up front. I mean, frankly, just get your money up front and then get the fuck out.
Or to do what was happening in Afghanistan, or you pretend to cooperate so you can be inside the walls when you start firing.
Yeah. I mean, It's such a clusterfuck on so many different levels, on every level. There's not a single ray of sunshine here other than maybe the insane and amazing pilots who are doing their best right now to get people out of there. I will always kind of tip my hat to and be obviously grateful for the folks on the ground, your rank and file, your grunt military, because they're the ones, you know, that have to bear the brunt of this. They're the ones that actually have to try and make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken shit here.
Yeah.
And why the hell? I mean, look, I tell people all the time, you're gonna have a hard time finding somebody who's more USA USA than I am. Why the fuck would you join the military right now?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, seriously, we talked about it. We're not protecting our own people.
We're back to the 70s again.
Yeah, we are.
Along with the gas prices, the inflation, I mean, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing we don't have is a double digit interest rates.
Just wait. Although I guess those, well, the housing bubble 2.0 is its own topic we can discuss sometimes. The shit that's going around here is insane.
I was actually talking to somebody about that at work today. And when I say talking about this with somebody at work, I'm talking about this with somebody who flips jobs as his profession. You know, we were finishing up some work for him today. And he and I said the same thing. We're both getting 2007 vibes, but the banks aren't making the subprime loans like they used to.
Agreed.
And it's going to be a very different kind of crash. Now, I did see a couple, there was a thread on Twitter today that the market appears to be slowing, but what people mean by slowing is, oh, now we're getting 5 and 6 bids on a house that's only been on the market for 24 hours, not 30. And cash is still winning. Now, hilariously, I sound like a grown-up, I was looking through my investments last night, okay, and I realized one of my funds is a BlackRock fund, so that's hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah, so you can imagine that. But, yeah, the housing bubble, I think, will start to collapse now that the price of wood has absolutely collapsed, thank God.
Yeah.
Back to what, 2017 prices, I think they said. So as new construction can go up, but even that's going to lag a couple months, especially now that we're coming into winter. But anyway, no, we need to wrap up. It's getting very late. It's almost 11 o'clock.
I got to say this, and I saw this, and this might be a good place to kind of give our final thoughts. I saw this on, I think it was Facebook, and I put it up on Twitter, and it says, if you ever feel useless, remember, it took 20 years, trillions of dollars, and 4 U.S. presidents to replace the Taliban with the Taliban.
Yep.
I mean,
that's just brutal truth.
I mean, what have we done in 20 years? Now, okay, let me back that up a little bit. What we've done in 20 years is keep them from attacking American soil. That is not an insubstantial thing at all, as someone whose ass is firmly planted in American soil. But,
well, do you want my very dark humored response?
Sure.
We sure as shit have improved prosthetics technology.
Yeah, that we have.
I mean,
that's true.
It is. We've spent 20 years over there, and again, I don't want to discount the fact and the idea that there has not been a major coordinated terrorist attack on American soil like we saw on September 11th as we come up on that anniversary. I don't want to discredit that. I don't want to just kind of sweep that under the rug. That is a major thing. But as it comes specifically to Afghanistan, what have we accomplished in 20 years? When we began our pullout, they took power before we could even finish. We left in the middle of the night, and they immediately swept back into power.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do for 20 years? Other than fun Northrop Grumman and the rest of the West weapons manufacturers.
I was just going to say, thanks, everybody, for making sure that my brother had a really well-paying job.
Yeah.
My brother, well, he didn't then. But my brother works for Northrop now. For years. No.
But, I mean, truthfully, can somebody tell me what we've accomplished in Afghanistan in 20 years?
Nothing.
I don't see anything.
And the thing is, and I shouldn't start this because we do need to go. The thing is, everyone keeps saying fire everybody and bring in new people at state and fire all the generals. They all go to the same schools. They're all taught the same theory. They're all taught the end of history post-nationalism. They're all taught soft power. They're all, I don't care when you went, where you actually went, it's all Kennedy school bullshit theory. There are no Reaganite real politic people left. They're all dead.
Well, and yeah, here's the thing. You want to talk about, you know, oh, fire everybody, bring in new people. It's not like the same people that started this shit 20 years ago are still in charge. We've been through multiple generations of commanders and chiefs and people at the top of the food chain. Mm-hmm. And yes, there have been deviations and course corrections and things like that, but we're talking a matter of a few degrees one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Which goes right to what you were saying, Alex, is that yes, they're different personality-wise, they have different personal philosophies, but it's within a very narrow band of bandwidth. I mean, it's a few degrees left, a few degrees right, but we're still basically chugging in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I, in more very, very pitch black humor, while everybody wanted norms restored, losing in Afghanistan might be the oldest norm in the world.
Mm-hmm. Afghanistan is where empires go to die. And I don't think...
Afghanistan's not called the graveyard of empires just for funsies.
Now, do I think Afghanistan is the death of the quote-unquote American empire? No. Do I think it's a massive body blow and a cracked rib? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Do we shoot ourselves in the face? Yes. Do we shoot ourselves in the face for no reason? I think that's the galling part of this. There was literally no reason to do this.
Yeah, there was.
I've been team get the fuck out of Afghanistan since I think 07.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all pretty solid members of team get the fuck out. But that didn't mean you did this. No one who was team get the fuck out meant this.
Like, we meant blow Bagram behind us.
I'm even beyond the equipment, which is stunning in and of itself. I'm truly stunned at the personnel that I
cannot believe they left the embassy staff. I mean, you get, if they were going to do this, in May, you start very quietly getting the families of the interpreters out. You know? You roll that out slowly. You start retracting the embassy staff. When you're finally going to ramp up, yank all the interpreters, yank the low-level embassy staff. Then when you're ready to go, say, okay, all embassy, final embassy staff, on the plane at Bagram. We load up, we live in the middle of the night, and you know we're gone because all of a sudden Bagram's on fucking fire.
Right.
It's been a
tremendous, colossal... I mean, this is Napoleon in Russia in the winter size clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, it is just after 11... Doc, I'm going to give you the last word on this one. I know you've got some thoughts. I'm going to give you the last word, and then we're going to wrap this up.
Absolutely. The question becomes what comes on the back end of this, because the you saw it on a number of various and sundry threads on Twitter. The calculation by the Democrats has been that we're going to do this now because we don't think anybody's going to give a shit in 12 months. They may be right. But it's also creating a vacuum that the worst possible bad guys are going to come in to fill. And the magic question becomes, what can you do about this? Presumably, I at this point, I expect there to be a fairly impressive turnover of the House in another year. I think the Senate could go either way just because the Senate doesn't necessarily hinge on the same things. And I do expect that people are going to say Biden is incompetent come 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. But what does hopefully President Ron DeSantis – yeah, and for those – since this is audio, not video, Brent has his fingers crossed.
DeSantis finally did something dumb today. Yay!
Okay. It was not dumb. It was minorly incorrect, but I will let you have your little victory bounce.
Well, no, you realize I'm doing this because I'm counting that as the thing that's disappointing.
Okay, legit. Well, the broader point is we're sitting there with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and a lot of field grade officers. Mm-hmm. All of whom maintained their jobs as we wound down in Iraq and now Afghanistan because of political reliability. We aren't prepared to fight a peer-to-peer conflict right now. Most of our new toys don't work. And we're counting on the bad guys getting our toys that don't work. That's some truly Trump four-dimensional chess there. But we have arrayed a bunch of things against ourselves now that are either going to be driven by hopefully President DeSantis, but God forbid President Kamala Harris.
We're gonna end up nuking somebody just because there's no other fucking choice.
Well, and that's the other thing to consider is that China has eyeballed Siberia for decades because they need the natural resources. Russia has only one way to protect themselves.
Yep.
And for that matter, we have rearmed and up-armed the Pakistanis to the point where they can be considered a nuclear peer to India. And they don't like each other at all.
I was just going to say, I am stunned India and Pakistan have not gone nuke by now.
Well, it's not midnight yet.
Yeah, not quite. What people forget, and it's been ongoing, there are more or less consistent hot border skirmishes between India and Pakistan, by which I mean live fire is being exchanged.
My favorite story about that is a couple years ago, it may have been 5 or 6 years ago, and how where they were literally throwing stones at each other and throwing each other off of a cliff faces.
Yeah.
Like actual hand-to-hand combat with rocks and tossing each other off the cliff face because technically they didn't fire any guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And the other thing is China and India have been pushing back and forth on their border as well, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, boys and girls, we're going to leave you with that cheery thought of nuclear winter, of China, of Pakistan, of India, of Russia, all deciding they want to do the dance. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. I appreciate you two hanging on with me. The new job, the new career is definitely, one, I'm tired. Two, I come home every evening and prepare for the next day. I try to take this very seriously. I try to make sure that I've got, you know, both quality content and presentation for the kids. I do take this seriously. I know my wife challenged me a couple of years ago when I first started this process to put up or shut up about civics education and about social science education here locally. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. We joke about Governor DeSantis, but he specifically charged people in the communities of Florida with, I want better civics education. I want better social science education for our kids. I said, okay, cool. I'll put my money where my mouth is. Mm-hmm. And so I do take it seriously. I get frustrated at times, of course, because this is, I come from the private sector. I come from a private field where we do things very differently than education does. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, what matters is me standing in front of a group of kids and talking to them and with them. And I very much enjoy that. And like I said, I just wanted to thank y'all for kind of hanging on. I know it's been a little while. Thank you to the folks out there. Now, look, we promised that we were going to do a politics-free podcast at some point. We're still planning on doing that. It was just the implosion in Afghanistan was just too big. There was no ignoring that story. It's kind of, I think, about to hit its crest and its peak, and there's no ignoring it. We're about to tip over into to the backside of this. So, but with that being the case, Doc, as always, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. I will see you in a couple of days. I'm coming
yes,
out
you will.
To see you.
That's well, awesome.
And the team TMI Third are really looking forward to having you over. It's going to be a really fun couple of days.
The youngest and I are headed out to hang out with the TMI Third family for a quick weekend getaway and enjoy some of the things that we all have in common. I know my youngest is really looking forward to it. She's been excited for months now, ever since we first started planning this. So we do appreciate you putting up the Cochrans and all their insanity for about 36 hours.
Well, and the other thing is I gotta clean the area where we're going to sequester you and that sort of thing. It's a bit of a disaster. I apologize in advance.
Hey, listen, I am easy to please. That is not a problem at all.
No, we leave the truck stop stuff out of this, okay? Yes. But I did pick a special one.
Okay, well, we're very sorry, but we've lost TMI from the feed. I'm sure we will talk to him again soon. But no, Doc, we appreciate it as always.
Absolutely.
Alex, it's now you and I talk, well, actually all three of us talk damn near every day. Alex and I have talked every day for, shit, closing in on a decade here now.
And years, yeah.
But it is always good to actually get to do this with you. We said from the start that this was a phone conversation between two friends, and we just hit the record button. And that's still the case. We've just added a third friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing that on a slightly happier closing, one of the things that's a plague in this country is that that more and more people feel isolated, like they don't have friends and whatnot. And it's a source of underlying, you know, for lack of a better word, mental illness in this country. Mm-hmm. If people are finding comfort in this and they feel like we are their friends, one, actually, yeah, we are, even if we don't know it, and we're happy to be that. But two, the two of you are my close friends, and I am very grateful for the time that we have together. So
it is.
I am blessed beyond measure in the friends that God has given me in my life.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I appreciate the both of you. I thank you for this. Alex, as always, you're gonna send us off. Tell the folks good night.
Good night.